Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Education activists are reacting to a first-of-its-kind study on the use of special education programs in Massachusetts schools.
The State Commission report finds that Massachusetts has the second highest rate of special education enrollment in the country. Here's Mitchell Chester, Commissioner of the Elementary and Secondary Education, talking this morning on Morning Edition.
It is striking that in Massachusetts we identify such a high rate of our of students as being disabled. One out of six of our students is identified as having a disability, which to me is alarmingly high.
Well, joining us now for further reaction is Jerry Mogul, Executive Director of Massachusetts Advocates for Children, an educational advocacy group that's been on the scene for more than 40 years in this state. Mr. Mogul, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on board.
Well, let me first ask you, you heard Commissioner Mitchell Chester there saying that some of the findings of this new report on special education were alarming. First of all, that 17% of Massachusetts students are enrolled in some form of special ed. In your opinion, is that a mark of success of special education in Massachusetts, or maybe an indication that too many children are being identified, as Mitchell Chester said, as quote-unquote disabled?
Well, we try not to think of this as an either-or proposition. It's a complicated matter, and first I want to say that the report itself points out some very important things. For one, it points out the over-identification of children from low-income families and children of color in segregated settings. We've known this for a long time, but it's important that the report pointed this out.
Yeah. Oh, I have some questions about that for you in a little
bit.
But go ahead.
Sure. And the report also said that, in spite of the fact that there are relatively high numbers of kids enrolled compared to the rest of the country, it's not necessarily indicative of a crisis, and certainly I wouldn't use the term alarming. In fact, the report says very clearly that they're not recommending any major state policy changes in special education. The state itself already has the tools to make any changes that are necessary. Our concern is that school districts will overreact, that if the message is simply reduce the numbers, then, what schools are going to, may do is start to do that.
Okay.
And that can be very, very harmful for kids.
Well, let's talk in a little bit more detail about what you had spoken about a second ago, and that's the levels of who's being identified and why. I mean, that was the other big finding in this report, as you had mentioned, that children in low-income districts are more likely to be identified as in need of special education versus higher-income districts, and that even within those wealthier school districts, students from lower-income brackets in those high-income districts themselves are more likely to be given the special education identifier or be given enrollment in special education programs. Now, the report was unwilling to posit as to why that is, why there's the disparities there. But from your experience, do you have a guess?
Well, the report did say that it is, been known for a while that children from low-income families have greater needs, greater health needs, greater health issues, and so it's not a surprise that children from low-income families might need more supports. The question is the extent of it, whether it's twice as much or 1.5 times as much. I don't think it's a surprise that kids from low-income families, are going to need more supports. The question is, are the districts, low-income districts, able to provide those supports in a general education setting? And I think this is where it's really important to understand that we don't want special ed to become the default when general ed programs don't work for kids. And I think this report is right to point out that it's important to strengthen the general education programs for all kids, and there are tools to do that. The schools already have the tools to do that. It's response to intervention is a way to do that, to make sure that general education works. But in either case, whether in regular ed or special ed, if a child has identified needs, it's going to take resources to help that child. We don't see an over-identification of kids in general. From the advocacy perspective, very often we'll have to you know, support parents to help them, you know, fight for eligibility, for the schools to find them eligible.
So you disagree with Mitchell Chester when he says that his intent is to make sure students who are identified are, quote unquote, truly disabled.
Well, you know, kids right now, when they get a referral for special ed, they go through a battery of tests. Now, you know, it's a rigorous set of tests to identify a disability, and you know, so yes, kids are identified with a problem. Call it a disability or not. And I know that he's concerned about the children with the mild disabilities as opposed to, you know, the disabilities that are more diagnosable. But you know, they need help, and again, it's important to make sure that the kids get the help they need in either setting. And
well, Jerry Mogul, let me ask you a point about that,
sure.
Because I completely hear you when you say that that schools should have the tools and resources that they need without resorting to putting a child in special ed in order to support them fully. And yet, I wonder why. I mean, do you have any sense as to why that's not happening? That schools seem, this report seems to be indicating that they're opting instead to just to put the child in special education enrollment rather than giving them, you know, the supports, as you've said, that should be available in general education.
Well, I don't know that it's a wholesale kind of opting. I'd have to, you know, I don't think the report proves that at all, that they're necessarily opting to do that. I think that school districts and the state needs to make sure that schools are working for kids, mm-hmm. for all kids. And the whole point about special education is that it's an individual education plan. And the more that we kind of get in trouble when we start classifying whole groups of kids and saying, you know, there are too many, you know, X, Y kids, low income or kids of color or, you know, specific learning disabilities, whatever it is, when we start categorizing kids in large groups, we kind of really run into the danger of losing the individual kid, what that individual child, right in front of the teacher and in front of the school and with the parents, what that child needs. And the beauty of the special education law is that it's about the individual child, and it needs to really stay that way. And so it's really important that whatever policy changes come out of this, it needs to really recognize front and center that it's about the individual child, and it's about making sure that schools have the tools to support that child, whether in a regular ed setting or they're in a special ed setting. We strongly support and believe, as does Tom Hare, the report writer, in inclusion. Mm-hmm. Kids with disabilities, as much as possible, in a least restrictive environment, should be supported in a general classroom. But to do that right, to do that well, and there are models. There are models here in Boston to do that well, to do that right. It takes resources, it takes a lot of planning and a lot of support.
Jerry Mogul is the executive director of Massachusetts Advocates for Children, an educational advocacy group that was actually instrumental in the passage of Massachusetts special education law, which was the first in the nation. Jerry Mogul, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Up next, easing the time crunch. Why giving away time can make you feel as if you have more time. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.